to bless your holy name. Lord, if we didn't even preach today, the fact that we just showed up to let you know that you're God and you're King, and that we submit to you, and that we await your return, and until that time, Lord, that we are to be diligently seeking your face and about your business. Help us to live our lives as Christians, not as ordinary people who are waiting for the next bus. But God, help us to be those who are empowered by your Holy Spirit to go out and do what the world says can't be done. Because in our own strength, we can't, God, but in your strength, we can do all things. And that's just not a cliche, God. You live within us by the power of your Spirit. Help us to live and move and have our being surrounded around those promises so that we'll yield to your Holy Spirit in everything we say and everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about, as we were walking through the Bible, we began, remember, with Genesis. We walked through all the Bible in the Old Testament, and we came to the New Testament. We talked about the Gospels, and then we're talking about the book of Acts now. And in the book of Acts, we talked, firstly, about what? How the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles, and anybody else that you want to call into that order, that it's a human being, that the two shall become one, remember? God now is not just excluding the Gentiles, but he's including the Gentiles. Israel wasn't set aside. They weren't a parenthesis, if you will. They weren't just something that they were dealing with, God was dealing with, and now he's dealing with the church. He now has called forth the church amongst other people other than national Israel to be part of his promises made to national Israel. The two have become what? One holy nation. God now has one people. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a Jew in your heart. Right. Not nationally. You weren't born Jewish, but you become Jewish. God adopts you spiritually when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You now become part of a family that has had promises made to them early on in the Old Testament that said, I will be with you forever. I will give you this land as a possession forever. And even though in the natural, it's physical land of Israel, one day when I come back, spiritual Jerusalem, or the new Jerusalem, or the one that God has really created in heaven, is going to descend upon where natural Jerusalem is, and we will live and be with the Lord forever. We won't be in 3D bodies, and what I mean by 3D is taste, touch, smell, all that kind of stuff. We'll have the ability, what? In spirit, to be anywhere, to walk through a wall like Jesus did when he came back, to fellowship with those who have gone on before you, to rule and reign with God forever. I don't know how it's all going to play out in eternity. Nobody does, because he's God, and we're just his creation. But I can promise you this, if God said it, so it is. Amen. And if he promised Israel in the Old Testament, just the nation of Israel, that they're going to spend eternity with him and in covenant with him in a land literally called Israel or Jerusalem in that area, we as Gentiles are now grafted in. We're part of the root. And we are now being spiritual Jews included in God's promise. Isn't that great? Yes. What does that mean for you today as I preach this message today? Well, I don't know if you read your newspapers and know what's happening all around in Israel and stuff like that. That little small nation stuck out there amongst all those Arab nations, they're still alive and well. God has supernaturally protected them through all of the years, even with Hitler trying to exterminate them and the devil getting everybody on his case, obviously on their case, that he can influence enough to hate them and to stir up a hatred and to raise up the Palestinians and all those to stir up a hatred. And by the way, it's not just the Jews. Remember we said that the two should become one and we are spiritual Jews? Yeah. Well, if you notice about all those Palestinians that are underneath, quote, the faith of Islam, which is opposite of Christianity, theirs is Muhammad, ours is Jesus, right? Well, they not just hate the Jews, they hate Christians. So they're the first group that's recognized that the two have become one. So for those of you who say that God has a separate plan for the Jews and he's got a separate plan for Christians, you've not read your Bible. He said there's one new man now. If you call on Jesus, Jewish or not Jewish, Gentile or not Gentile, whatever nation you come from, if you trust in Jesus, you're part of my family, I've adopted you, and you will inherit the land. There is a physical land over in Israel right now where the center of attention will switch to in the end times because that's where Jesus is going to physically come back to. He's made that promise. He's talked about the Mount of Olives. He's talked about the Valley of Megiddo. We understand today because of technology, there's an earthquake line going right up the middle of the Mount of Olives. So when Jesus lands and it splits, it's going to be a supernatural event, yes, but it's going to be because that earthquake vault goes off. And it's going to separate the land. And those that are in the valley, well, we know what happens to them for those that don't trust in Jesus. This isn't about a heaven and hell message. This is about getting our understanding focused on Israel because if we don't support Israel, and for those who don't support Israel, they will be cursed. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't want to be cursed in me or my family. What our nation does, I can't stop, but I can pray. I can pray for our leaders and I can pray for our nation to support Israel and to back Israel and to tell them to do it and do everything in my power to get our nation, since I live in this land, to support them. Because if we don't, our country is going to go, and it's already starting to go because of some of the things that we're not doing from God's perspective. Well, it's going to get worse if we don't support Israel. So today's talk, since I talked last week to tell you about Israel and those who call on Christ are one new nation now, you need to understand what's happening in Israel today and why you need to support Israel. Very practical message today, okay? So, we said that last week God is still working in the natural state of Israel and that Israel's land will be the site of the end time events I just talked about. The devil has tried to dispossess the Jews. You could read your history books, okay? From their promised land throughout all of history. And we've all witnessed what? The age-long conflict that's helped set up between the descendants of Isaac, the Jews, and the descendants of Ishmael, the modern-day Arabs, which are often referred to as Palestinians, those that are living in the land today. So let me just set this up real quick for you. Back in the Old Testament, when he made the promises to Abraham, Abraham had a son called Isaac. He also had a son called Ishmael. If you remember correctly, God said, I am making all these promises through your son Isaac, who will be born to you one day when Sarah's 90 and you're 100. Well, in our own natural logic and reason, we say, you can't have a baby when you're 90 or 100. That's not going to happen, and that's probably what Abraham and Sarah said to themselves. I'm 90 years old. How can I have a baby at 90? I don't think that promise is going to come to pass, Abraham. Abraham should have stood in faith and said, but God said it. And the promise would have just naturally flowed right through Isaac, his firstborn son, or would have been his firstborn son, straight on down the line. But if you notice that things got switched up, Abraham stepped out in his own strength and said, well, I better go over here and make love to your handmaiden over here to get a son, because you're barren, Sarah, and we're probably not going to have a baby. Actually, it wasn't him saying that, it was Sarah saying that, and she convinced her husband, just like Eve convinced Adam. No, I'm going to get it back. But do you understand that Abraham acted in his own strength and went out and had a son, and his name was Ishmael? He was not the son of promise. God promised that he would bless the Jews through Isaac. And he didn't wait. So if you ever wondered why all the time God was always blessing the second born, the second born, the second born, it was always the second one was getting the stuff and it wasn't the firstborn, well, think about this. The firstborn, because we stepped in the way and interfered with God's plan, didn't end up getting the blessing. It was the second one. And so it continued through the next generation. Jacob and Esau. Jacob being second born, Esau being first. He received the blessing. So it's not about that. What it is about is the fact that God promised the land of Israel and all of the promises and all of the blessings through Isaac. And we know today that those descendants of Isaac back then are the national nation of the Jews. Ishmael, because Abraham disobeyed, who do you think has descended from the descendants of Ishmael? The Arabs. The Arabs claim Ishmael is their father. So you had this war going on. It's called a holy war. Why is it called a holy war? Because it's a separate war where the people of God, the Jews that were under the promises of God and being blessed by God, were at enmity with those whom the promise was taken away from. Ever since 4,000 or 5,000 years ago it started. And today we see all of this little nation of natural Israel, the descendants of Isaac, sitting over there in this little state that God brought them back to, and all the Arabs from every nation, they are outnumbered by, I can't even tell you what the outnumbering is. And yet they survive. But there's a holy war, as you've heard the Palestinians say on your news conferences and all this stuff going on. You now know what that holy war is. It's been going on for 5,000 or 6,000 years. The descendants of Isaac versus the descendants of Ishmael. Today's Arabs versus those who are Christians and Jews living in the land. You get it? Just setting it up for you as we study this here today. Now, so this conflict has been going on not just today that you read in your newspapers, but for 5,000 years. Okay? Unfortunately, our media today, and that's why I'm preaching to you, pictures the Palestinians as cruelly oppressed and denied possession of their native land, which was stolen from them by an invading Jewish army. I'm just telling you what the media presents. But the truth is not found in modern-day media moguls. The truth is contained in Scripture. Hello? If you want to know the truth about the land of Israel, and you want to know the truth about what it means for us today, look to Scripture. Quit watching TV. Quit being persuaded by presidents and men of influence that keep saying that these are they're cruelly treated and this was their land. This land is my land. This is your land. We've already heard from Scripture, and I could read to you a whole book on Scriptures that God promised this land to the descendants of Isaac forever. That's a pretty long time. So we're going to need to examine it right now. The rights of national Israel to the land that was given to them by God and which you see in your newspaper every day. Genesis 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I've given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. I think the borders are pretty clear there. Genesis 17, 18 and 19. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. See, he didn't want to go through what the promise was with Isaac. He said, Ishmael's already born. Let's just take care of this now. God had other plans. So it's not about what man thinks. It's not about what the media thinks. It's not about our own plans. It's not about how we want to orchestrate events throughout history. When God says it, it is. And that's what you need to understand today. So the first of many promises concerning Israel's land was made to Abraham. And it's the foundation of the modern day return of the Jews to this land. And we all know that, right? But the sovereignty of Israel is being threatened today, folks. What do I mean by the sovereignty of Israel? Israel existing as a state is being challenged every day by the world. By what God said not to do to the Arabs. He told the Arabs not to do it or anybody. Those who what? Bless Israel will be? Those who curse Israel? Cursed. The Israeli government is being pressured to give away the land. If you haven't read your newspapers, I'm summing it up for you. The Israeli government is being pressured to give away the land promised to God by Abraham's descendants through Isaac, as you just heard from me, and actually the word. Specifically, the area known, and you've all heard this, the West Bank. Specifically, the Palestinians are laying claim to the western part of Israel. Now, all of it has been promised to Isaac and his descendants, not just part of it, okay? But they're trying to get what? Like the devil tries to do in your life. Just get a foothold in. Because once they get a foothold, they already claim they want to annihilate Israel. It's not about borders. It's about the sovereignty of Israel. They're just trying to get it in so that they can do what they already claimed in their own faith to do. To kill and annihilate Christians and Jews. The West Bank, for your information, formerly referred to as Judea and Samaria. In the Old Testament, way back when, it was the land of Judea and Samaria. And folks, listen. That was included in God's promise to Abraham forevermore. Yet Arabs today still fight for it. And they hide behind what? The so-called peace process. The Israeli Accord and all that stuff. The peace process. They want to get it. But this peace process is ultimately intended to lead to the destruction of Israel as a nation, not peace. Modern Arab leaders are constantly insulting Israel daily. Just read your newspapers or listen to the news. Just as they did a long time ago. It's nothing new. And we're going to look at this war, this holy war that's been going on for 4,000 years and continuing today in Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36. I want you to see this. Therefore, this is back now many, many moons ago. Prophesy, he's telling his prophets, those who speak for God, to the land of Israel, concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, he's saying, speak to the land. How many of you know you can do that in your own house?
Try.
How many of you know that you can bless what God has blessed and you can curse what God has cursed because you're sons and daughters of the Most High God? There's power in your words. Today, the church doesn't realize any of this power because we're not intimate enough to know His word, to operate in it and be confident enough and have enough faith for it. So we don't see it, so we're just being a disgrace. People say, well, the church isn't any different than the world, and we're not if we're not operating in the things God said we're able to. But we need to start speaking what God says. And when we say what God says, then it's up to God to show up. Not you, because you can't do squat in your own strength, my interpretation. Prophesy concerning the land of Israel. Say to the mountains, say to the hills, say to the ravines, say to the valleys, say to your finances, say to your home, say to your land, say to your school, say to your... Right? Yeah. Thus says the Lord God. But just be careful. You're not saying what you want to say. You better start saying what God's saying. So if you want to prophesy over your land, you better be in agreement with God. Because he's not going to bless your Mercedes Cadillac pink version of your swimming pool or whatever. As you're praying, oh God, bless me and my soul and my whole family. I need a pink Cadillac to get to work. Pray God's will. His word will come to pass. It has to. It's forever settled in heaven. It's God's word. So pray to the valleys and the ravines. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I've spoken in my jealousy and in my wrath, because you have endured what? The insults of the nations. God's ticked at these other nations that are coming against Israel. He's not happy. They've been insulting Israel. Verse 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have sworn that surely the nations which are around you will themselves endure their own insults. Hallelujah. Folks, if you want to get on the winning side, support Israel. I'm just telling you, you better support Israel today if you want to be on the winning side. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and you're going to bear fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. See, God said, even though it looks like it's a devastation, even though these people have been in bondage for thousands of years, one day I'm going to bring Israel back to their land. And we've been privileged to live in a generation that's witnessed it. In 1948, it happened, just as God said it would happen thousands of years beforehand. You want to talk about a God? You want to talk about the real God, the one that we need to put our faith in and trust even when we don't see things happening? You trust in that God. You trust in the God of Israel. You trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Scott, and Teresa, and Ryan, and Brett. I'm here to tell you, he's coming back, and he's coming back on a white horse, and he's also going to come back and touch that Mount of Olives, and he's going to split it in two, and he's going to judge those nations which are oppressing Israel now, and Christians, because there's going to be Christians and Jews that believe that are going to go and be with Jesus forever. The disputed West Bank is the heart of Israel's promised land. How do I know it's the heart? Bethel, Ai, Shiloh, Shechem, Bethany, Bethlehem, Hebron, and Jerusalem are all part of the West Bank. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Leah, Jacob, Joshua, Joseph, all buried in the West Bank. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, part of the West Bank. David ruled from Jerusalem, part of the West Bank. Hello, this land is not disputed in the Bible, nor should it be disputed today. Just facts I'm giving you. Just facts. Folks, just like prophecy, the Jews were scattered amongst the nations. We know that. We saw that for a season. But they were told they would one day return to the land. Over and over again, the prophets said they will one day return to the land. And they did. In 1948, Israel became a Jewish state. The British gave it to the Jews. Of course, it was already theirs. They were just being pawns. They were just being led by God to do what was God already prophesied. He said, God said, now it's time. So he put in the hearts of men, the British at the time, to give Israel back their land. It wasn't happenstance. This wasn't coincidence. This isn't, come on, this is God. We need to wake up and see it. And that's why we worship. Because we see God's truth playing out in history and we know that he is who he says he is. And if he is who he says he is, then we better be on our knees realizing, hey, look, I am yours. I am leaving myself behind. You got me, God. How do you want to use me? There's no kingdom you can build down here that's going to outlast God's kingdom. Right? In 1948, they became a Jewish state. In the miraculous Six-Day War of 1967, the Jews reclaimed the West Bank. This was and is the undisputed word of the Lord. 1967, in 6 days, they dispossessed everything and reclaimed that land. That didn't happen in war, especially with all those that were surrounding them, to a people who barely knew how to do even warfare, right? They were all just brought in from all the different nations, and here they are, sovereignly being protected by a sovereign God. Ezekiel 11:17. How do I know all this? Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered. We've witnessed this, and I will give you the land of Israel. That has come to pass. It's already come to pass. The land of Israel includes the West Bank, according to the Bible. And as we as a nation better understand and respect this. Numbers 24:9. You've already heard me say it. Look at the second half of this verse. Blessed is everyone who blesses you. Talking about Israel. Cursed is everyone who curses you. But you may ask, what about the Palestinian or Muslims' right to the land? Because a lot of Christians are in favor of the Palestinians and Muslims having their land. That Israel's just being greedy. God, they were rebellious before and they're going to be rebellious again. And so let's just give the Palestinian what the Palestinians are due. Well, folks, during the last 2,000 years, Arabs, Palestinians, were simply transient people. I want you to hear this. They were transient people for the last 2,000 years moving in and out of the area because it was unhindered by borders. There was no sovereignty. There was no state developed. So it was just a land that these Palestinians, so-called, that owned the land, were simply passing through, attempting to do what? Back then, finding pasture for their flocks. So the Palestinians, what they call themselves, going through the land, were looking for pasture to flocks, and most of the time they didn't stay. Why? Because the land was desolate. It was rocky. It was swampy. It was utterly, ugh. Because when Israel was removed, what happened? When Israel was removed and rebellious, the land followed. Just like today, when we live in this life, where as we are slowly, you know, moving towards dissolving, right? Because Jesus is coming back, because we're not moving in the right direction. So the land and the earth cries out for the coming of the Lord, because it too is on a destructive path, till God recreates it and refashions it. So here they're trying to find pasture to their flocks. Until the Jews returned, the land was swampland, sand, barren mounds of rocks, etc. It wasn't anybody's land. Because of the desolation, the returning Jews could settle most of the Holy Land without displacing anybody. The reason they could reclaim and come back and get the land that was promised to them is nobody wanted it. Not then, when they got back, but hang on. Hang on. God promised Israel would return and would spread out. They would yield fruit. Here's the prophetic word. They would till and sow. They would inhabit cities. They would rebuild ruins. And they would possess the land. Oh boy, how they did return and how they restored the land is prophesied. It's one of the most fruitful areas that you'll ever see anywhere. Because of what the Jews did to it. Now listen. The Jewish settlements created jobs. When the Jews came back to this rocky, barren, wasted land, they began to till it and do everything God told them to do. And how did it all of a sudden get restored? Because whose hand was on it? You could plant, I don't know how many of you are farmers, but you can plant all day long and stuff like that. But if the weather's not right and the soil's not right and everything's just not right, you're not going to get squat. I like that word, squat. You're not going to get nothing. It takes the right temperature, it takes the right soil, it takes the right ingredients, it takes the right chemicals, right? But even with all of that, one big wind can come in and whoop, there goes your crop. Israel land was barren, it was a wasteland, it hadn't recovered, but when the Jews got back, God said you'd spread out, you'd prosper, you'd multiply, you'd till the land, it would reproduce, and it would become fruitful. And guess what happened when they came back? That's exactly what happened. And when the Jews returned, prosperity returned, and when prosperity returned, jobs returned, and guess what happened when jobs and prosperity returned? In come the Palestinians, the Arabs, looking for work, finding work, planting themselves there and making that part of their home because everybody was welcome. Follow me now. Follow me with this. Jewish settlements created jobs. Only then were Arabic workers from neighboring lands drawn to the area for work. Only then did they want to not just pass through, but put down roots, right? And as the Jews grew, guess what happened? So did the Arabic settlements. As the Jews grew, so did the Arabic settlements, causing the dispute we have today. Causing the dispute we have today. Causing them to say, oh, this is our land. We've always been here. You know, we were passing through and we're claiming this is our land. Not even reading the Bible, not even taking into account that they weren't even here. And if you know that the Palestinians that were there and passing through before, the majority of them were Jewish anyway. The majority weren't Arab. The majority were Jewish, there were some Christians, and then there were some Arabs. So there was a mixture of what we call Palestinians today. It wasn't just Arabs. There were Jews and Arabs and Gentiles. You were Palestinian if you happened to just be living in that land. So when they came for jobs and they came into the area, they were called Palestinians. So, until 1948, when Israel became a Jewish state, previous residents in the area were called Palestinians. There were some that just stuck it out on that rocky, desolate land, and most of them were Jews, and then came Arabs, and then came the Gentiles in that order, based on population records. So Palestinians weren't even Arabs at the time, most of them. Now, interestingly enough, and this was kind of cool as I studied it, the Arabic people preferred not to be called Palestinian. The Arabs that were there actually preferred not to be called Palestinian. But boy, has that changed now that there's a push to claim the land as their own. They didn't even want to be associated with the land and being called Palestinian because it was just a dreary place. But since the prosperity came and since they started putting down roots, it's like, oh, we're Palestinian and we have a right to the land. This is ours. We've been here since way back. Wouldn't you, if your whole mission and goal was to wipe out the nation of Israel and possess their land and take back what it was, quote, from them taken away back 4,000, 5,000 years ago, passed down to their sons and their sons' sons, saying, we're in a holy war. It's been going on for 4,000 years, boys. Muhammad is our leader, and we're going to beat them Christians who think Jesus is their king. I hope you get this now. You can see what's set up over the ages and why we worship the way we do and why this holy war has been going on. So, these Palestinians, primarily being Jews, but there were others. Let's define a couple more Middle Eastern group names, because I know that when I look at the paper and the media today, it's very difficult to understand and who these people are. The Palestinians, the PLO, the this, the that, okay? Let me just define a few terms for you when it comes to this, okay? In Bible terms, we've already said Arab was a descendant of Ishmael. You were an Arab if you were a descendant of Ishmael, who lived in Arabia. And Arabia is just south of the promised land there, okay? What happened was, is Ishmael, if you read your Bible, intermarried with other tribes. He intermarried with other tribes, so many Arabs became Jewish. Many Arabs became Gentiles. It's kind of like today, if your sons and daughters, if they cross over and you know, you're married to a Japanese or a Chinese person and you have sons and daughters, they're kind of looking a little more Chinese or a little more this or that. Well, they become whatever it is the head of the family is. So when they intermarried, it was just you became, you know, we're all Americans, but how many of you actually have American blood in you? Right? But you're considered an American. And this is what happened with Ishmael. The Arabs just dispersed. And so they became Jews and Gentiles. But some remained strictly, again, Arabs. Now others, Arabs, became what we know today as Muslim. You've heard the term Muslim? Okay. Muslims are a group of people who practice a religion called Islam. Those who practice a religion called Christianity are called? Christians. Those who practice a religion which is opposite of Christianity, that has Muhammad as their leader, are called Muslims. So when you say Islamic people or Muslim people, now you know, and I know too, that just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't make you one. A lot of Christians don't follow obedience and God, period. They just don't care. They're just Christian. I got saved and I don't care what to do after that. They don't know their Bible, they don't know the Word, and they're not following Jesus the way they should, right? Unfortunately. Well, you hear on your media, there's peaceful Muslims today. Sure there are. They're just ignorant of their own religion. Because if you read the Islamic religious tenets of their faith, their goal is to destroy Christians in Israel. It's part of what you can look and you can read it and you get in there in the Islam and it tells you. You need to be at war, in a holy war with Christians and Jewish people. But not all Muslims are. Why? Because they become, quote, Muslim because their parents and their families and stuff like that. But they just don't read their scriptures. So they have no need to be angry. But I'm telling you, ultimately, behind every Islamic person, the ultimate goal is to destroy you as a Christian and to destroy the Jews. That's what their faith says. But they're no more effective in doing that than you are for Jesus if you're sitting on your hands and not doing anything for him. Sorry about that, but there's where we tie this in. All the more reason why we need to rise up, build up our most holy faith, and go out and do. It's not enough just to know who Jesus is. The devil does, and he shudders. We must do the work of him who left us the work to do here through the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. So Islam is that religion. And if you're a participator in Islam, you're a Muslim. And it's the Islamic movement. It's the Islamic movement. Those who grip their scriptures according to the Islamic faith that is trying to destroy Israel and many Christians. Okay? Now remember, holy war. Isaac, Ishmael. Today, Islamic versus Christianity. Psalm 83, 1 through 7. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, O God. Do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people. I mean, it's like reading the newspaper today. And this is back in the days of David. And conspire together against your treasured ones. How many of you know you're a treasured one? Isn't that good? God's got your back. There's casualties in war, folks. It rains on the just and the unjust. So don't blame God for everything bad happening in your life. I'm just here to tell you, you're his treasure. And he promises to never leave you or forsake you. And you got an inheritance in heaven that's far beyond anything you'll ever get here. So don't worry about today or tomorrow. You just worry about staying connected to your daddy. Amen. Your Abba Father who loves you. They have said what? Come and let us wipe them out as a nation. Folks, this is back in the days of David. The whole plan that the Islamists have today against Israel started back then. Let us wipe them out as a nation. It's the same words and rhetoric they're using today. That the name of Israel will be remembered, what? No more. That's their goal. For they've conspired together with one mind against you. Again, see, they're fighting. You come against God's anointed. Let me put another thing in your mind. You come against, if God wants to remove me, he'll come and remove me. If he wants to remove the guy down the street heading that church, he'll remove him. You know, there's practical steps, yes, you guys can take and stuff like that. But when you come against God's anointed, which David wouldn't do against Saul even, you set yourself up. I want to get out of your space because I just don't want to get near you. Because God fights for you. For they've conspired with one mind against you. Against God they made their covenant. By fighting against Israel, they pit themselves against God. Yep. Oh, stupid. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, these are all those that spread out from Ishmael. Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Again, just people groups stemming out from the Arabs. Boy, is it really set up here. So we got this holy war. Let me tell you some things today that they're saying to insult Israel. Egypt, 1958 to 1961. This is what they said. I announce from here on behalf of the United Arab Republic people that this time we will exterminate Israel. That's current events, folks. I was born. I ain't telling you when I was born. Iraq says this. Our goal is clear, to wipe Israel off the map. Libya says this. The battle with Israel must be such that after it, Israel will cease to exist. The PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. Now remember, these groups that branch out from Palestinian Liberation Organization, these groups like Hezbollah and all these things, are splintered groups. It's kind of like with Christianity. We have all our different denominations. There are those that adhere to their little Islamic faith more than others. That's why they're throwing bombs Israel's way, and some are over here working in 7-Elevens. Because they're splintered groups. You understand that? They're terrorist groups that act on their own behalf. But they all have the same goal. Destroy Israel. It's the truth. The struggle is not about Israel's borders, says the PLO, the organized group of Arabs who are a little bit more into the peace process so that they could get their foot in the door only to wipe Israel out when they get the opportunity. Oh, but we should sympathize with them because they've been dispossessed from their land and they have just as much right to the land as Israel does. No, they don't. According to the media, they do. According to Almighty God, he says, get out of here. But this is what the PLO says. The struggle is not about Israel's borders. It's about Israel's existence. Psalm 83, 16 and 18. What should our response be to such words of war? What should our response? We're over here in America. We don't have anything to do with that. Thank God we're not over there. We have a role to play. We're Christian. What should be our response? We should go to God in prayer and say, fill their faces with dishonor that they may seek your name, O Lord. Because ultimately we're praying for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for those to get saved so they don't hold a holy war. That they may know that you alone, that's God, capital Y-U, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. What is he saying? God's in control. We don't need to worry about what's going on over there in Israel as much. We just need to support him and understand that God being sovereign will ultimately bring the victory. Yes. Every knee will bow to the will of God. Israel will remain in the land and you can count on it because God is fighting on her behalf. Millions of Jewish people have returned to the land and miracles have allowed the state of Israel to survive several wars. The once desolate land, if you read your newspapers, has become fruitful. One last scripture. Ezekiel 36 to 38. Last one. Then the nations that are left round about you, when is then? When he brings them back into the land, and when only God Almighty himself knows the day and the hour. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, but God does when he gives that final nod to say, it is finished. Again, Jesus finished his work on earth and said, it is finished, which puts spiritual promises into play. And then when God Almighty, his Father, says, it's time, he's going to come back and he's going to wrap up all of history. The nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, those that are looking at Christians today, what? Mocking us? Where is your God? Remember that? The prophets of Baal did that back with Elijah? Come on! Elijah did it to the prophets of Baal. Where's your God? Is he sleeping? Well, that's what they're doing to us today. Where's the church? Where's the power? Where's the prophecy? Where's the healing? Where are the miracles? We don't see anything happen in the church. Your God's asleep. He ain't coming back. We'll do whatever we want. Why don't you join us? Same thing's happening today. He says, oh, in that hour when I give the green light, that's my interpretation, I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during their appointed feasts, so will the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, that they will know that I am the Lord. Folks, God has warned Arab nations not to covet the land he has promised to Israel. Even well-meaning Christians, lacking a complete understanding of God's word, mind you, have encouraged Palestinians to claim Israel's land. Leaders of nations that are against Israel today are like the king of Moab. Remember in the Bible, and maybe some of you haven't read it, but there was a king of Moab who tried to get this guy Balaam to curse and weaken Israel. He said, go over there, you're a prophet, you have pull with God. Go over there and curse Israel. Yeah, okay. Like Balaam, they don't see the angel of the Lord in their path. The Arabs today are trying to get the United States and everybody else to broker a deal to say, hey, go curse Israel, move them out. We have inherited the land. And they don't see that the word of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, stands firm with the sword of the Spirit that says, do not trespass.
That's right.
It's true. This is not a political problem, folks. It's a warning from Almighty God to nations and all people who oppose Israel. Do not trespass. We are to support Israel. We must warn our leaders. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will support Israel. Amen, Pam?